Okay, D. Johnson did not practice. Lichtensteiger, ankle, did not practice. Limited was Gomes. Full practice was Fletcher and Cousins. We got 11 others on probable that were getting treatment.
London was just in here talking about how difficult it was those first year transferring, going from 4-3 to 3-4 because you didn't have the personnel. You were going to obviously have to take your lumps. How difficult as a coach is it to go through something like that, knowing that, yeah, we're going to have our setbacks because it's going to be a period of adjustment before we...
Well, I think a lot of people look at it that way, but they forget about the people that were here at that time. You know, when you take a look at the defensive linemen, I think all the defensive linemen were getting a little bit older, and then next year, I don't think any of the 4-3 guys that were starting were in the NFL. I think, the only one guy, Andre Carter, would have been the only guy that played for a year. And he was picked up late. The other four guys that were defensive linemen really didn't play in the National Football League, except the guys that we still have on our football team that were backups at that time with Goldston and Alexander. But other than that, I recall Wynn, Griffin, Daniels were out of the league. So sometimes you got to make a decision what direction you're going to go.
Yeah, obviously, you see where you want to go, but you're also competitive as a coach. You want to win. So how difficult is it to go through those games when you say, this isn't really
what I guess the point I was trying to make, it didn't matter if it was a 3-4 defense or a 4-3 defense. What you have to do is you get some depth in your football team, and that's why we went out there. We got a guy like Bowen and Cofield, and I thought Neil did a heck of a job. As a rookie, he would have done a heck of a job for us this year, but then you get a guy like Jarvis Jenkins, and Goldston obviously was here, and now you got a little bit of depth, so, and you get Bowen at the same time. So those guys could play a 3-4 or a 4-3, those defensive linemen, so that transition. But we did have some linebackers. And you take a look at Rack going to the out, probably a much better position for him than a defensive end. If you take a look at Alexander, another guy that'd be better at the outside linebacker or inside linebacker than a defensive end. McIntosh at that time was still here. And so, you just decide what direction you're going to go.
You got Albert.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you. I talked to Albert, and I talked to him right at the end of the season. I said, hey, if you – play at the level that I saw you played at last year, I said, you wouldn't start on our football team anyhow. But that's after looking, and I looked at film with him. And I said, I don't care if you're playing nose tackle in a 3-4 defense or you're playing defensive tackle or defensive end, you got to play at a much higher level than you did the year before.
Mike, any further sense of what you're going to get out of Cedric Griffin? And maybe you could talk about the challenges you've had in the secondary with all the movement, not having the safeties all year, and what you see from them at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think Cedric looked better today. Had a good practice. Hopefully he continues to do that tomorrow. And I thought safeties at the start of the season was probably going to be the one position where we had the most depth at. I thought we had six guys that could all play, and unfortunately we lost our two starters. And I think we've had some guys step up and do a pretty good job, and we lost four guys there. It's not easy to lose four guys at one position. But I've been pleased with the level our guys have played at, and I think we've gotten better at both the free safety and the strong safety position, and help us next year.
What's the concern level right now with Corey having not practiced the past 2 days?
I don't know. We'll get treatment every day. I'll let you know more tomorrow. Could not practice today, so hopefully I'll be able to practice tomorrow.
Mike, when you look at Seattle's defense, obviously they have the numbers, and we can see that. What jumps out at you when you watch them on film? What are the challenges of facing them?
Well, they've got an excellent football team. They've got depth at the defensive line, very powerful, very quick. Linebackers are all solid. Two corners that will challenge you. They've done a great job throughout the year. They've got really four corners that can play. They've got some depth in their secondary. Safeties, they've got speed. They've got athletic ability. For you to finish, number one or in the top five in most areas, you've got to be pretty sound and pretty consistent, and they've been that way. So it's a good challenge.
Do you feel, if I remember right, last year there were a couple of times you hurt them early on with some misdirection, throwing backside to Fred and all that. When you do something like that last year, obviously they're going to probably know you're going to have some idea of doing that this year, but is that something that you can, you feel like the misdirection really hurt them last year just because of their style of defense, maybe a little bit faster throwing the ball hard?
Everybody's got a little bit of a game plan. You're always trying to keep a defense off balance, just like a defense is trying to keep an offense off balance. They don't try to fool you. You know what they're going to do. That's usually the sign of a great defense, that they come out and play harder and more consistent than the offense. And one of the reasons why they have been so good. Very sound, don't make a lot of mistakes. Everybody knows what they're doing, and they have been dominating the line of scrimmage.
Mike, I know Kai Forbath won this competition over Olinde and Josh, and that earned him a job. At what point during his streak did you think he could be a long-term solution for you guys?
You really never know until a guy gets an opportunity. We just presented a legitimate competition between three kickers, and he was the most successful. But you never know for sure how a guy's going to do until he gets there on game day. The thing that I liked about him, that he didn't care where the ball was, the holder. Hey, just get it down, I'll kick it. And it didn't matter what the situation was in practice during the game. And, you know, a little bit different than a lot of kickers that I've been around. The guys that have been the most consistent are the guys just like Kai. Hey, just get it down there, I'll kick it. Takes full responsibility for misses. So that's the kind of guy you like.
Coach, I guess you could always say it before every game, you need to get seven instead of three. But with you guys being top five in the red zone in offense, Seattle's number one in scoring defense and top five in the red zone in goal to go. Just curious about that matchup. You know, what changes in the red zone on offense and defense? What do good red zone offenses, good red zone defenses have in common?
Number one, for an offense, you know, the field shrinks. So it's much tougher to get the ball in the end zone. And at least from my perspective, if you can do both, if you can run and throw, it gives you the best chance to be consistent down there, where a defense, never quite sure what you're going to do. And the great defenses are guys that play sound defense. They can play straight zone. They can blitz you. But they got to have a good core base on defense, and defense that doesn't make very many mistakes. And that's one of the reasons why they've been very consistent.
Mike, on the defensive side of the ball, when the staff was really trying to find those right combinations around the bye week time and as guys were getting injured, what do you remember about that process and the job that your assistants and you guys did finding the right pieces and the way to use people the right way?
Well, I think we talked about it through the offseason. We talked about the strength of our football team was going to be our defense, and then you lose four starters and three backups that were going to play every week and play well. So you lose seven guys, and you lose seven guys, you're not going to be the same. But, you know, through our first nine games, we got some experience at the safety positions. And Jenkins came in, got some valuable experience at the defense men for Carricker. You get Rack that goes out, and all of a sudden Rob Jackson starts playing at a different level. And so as a nucleus, some of these guys that, you know, fill in some of these voids really start playing high at a higher level. And some of the guys backing up, you know, Chris Baker, how is he going to play for Chris Nell? Chris Nell really played excellent for us last year in the run game. Got a couple sacks. I think in his first eight plays of the season he had two sacks, so that's not too bad either. He thought he was going to keep that up, which he didn't, unfortunately. But and then you have guys like, see who else, well, Kedrick. You know, Kedrick comes in and he does everything that you've asked him to do, and he can play both positions. Does that answer it?
Yeah. Mike, Jim just said he thought D'Angelo Hall played his best game against Dallas, locked up with Dez. What's your assessment?
No, I don't think there's any question. You know, he was really focused. He was into it. He knew it was a playoff atmosphere. He had to play his best game against an excellent receiver who's playing at a very high level throughout the last four or five games. And it was a great challenge to him. Anytime you're locked on a guy man-to-man and you got to shut a guy down with his type of ability, he took it as a personal challenge, and I thought did a great job.
Mike, yesterday you described Pete Carroll as excitable. I'm wondering what adjective you'd use to describe yourself.
That's a good question. I don't know. I've been called a lot of things before, which I can't say. But I think overall, you know, what you want to do as a coach is, you know, I think be respected. People, you got a hard job to do, and you want to be fair to the best player on your football team as compared to the guy that is maybe not thought of as one of your better players. You know, you want to be consistent, and you'd like to be respected. I think that's one of the things that if I had people trying to remember me, it would be something like that.
Mike, you had different receiver lead the team in yards, catches, and touchdown receptions this year. What does that say about the receivers as a whole in the passing game?
Well, you know, we talked about it last year as one of the areas we had to improve in. And, you know, we talked about yards after catch, all those type of things. We weren't very good in that area. Yet I thought our passing game was fairly good for the most part, with some of the, you know, injuries we did have. So to come back and get a few additions in the wide receiver area, for Santana to come back and lose some weight and play at the level that he's played at very consistently throughout the whole year, you know, is a difference between our receiving corps. Pierre comes in and, you know, is hurt, has a good first quarter, then is hurt half the season. And you got a guy like Aldrick Robinson who comes in, who's very talented, but it took him a year to develop. Hankerson played one game, very high on him, then he got hurt right away. And then Josh Morgan came in and really played well, but you could see his ankle was still bothering him a little bit. And to see those guys at the midway point play at the level they have says a lot about who they are, because they have made plays consistently. They've been very competitive, both the running game and the passing game, and that's what gives you a chance to, you know, play at a high level in the second half of the season.
Would you rather have one guy lead every category, be that statistical go-to guy? Does that matter to you at all, or is that fine? Are you guys fine with having
the fact that we talked about that as a running back? You know, I was told last year that, you know, you're a coach that's a running back by committee. And I said, no. I said, I've had some pretty good running backs, and you like to have that back, but you're going to play your best backs. And all of a sudden we got a guy, you know, that comes in and steps up, and he's a man. Alfred has done a great job. Same thing at the wide receiver. If Pierre would have stayed healthy, you know, he'd probably have been 1,400 yards. But he didn't. So you got to have other guys step up, a little bit more depth. And all you want to do is, you know, be effective, be efficient. And if somebody does go down, hopefully you have the depth where these guys can, you know, play at a high level and you can still have some success.